This is a STEAM channel program on UCTV. Go full steam ahead at uctv.tv/steam, where science, technology, engineering, arts, and math converge.
In this work, we took advantage of a rare disorder like Cardi Gutierrez to really explore a fundamental mechanism that happens in your brain. Clinically, you can see the manifestation pre-birth by ultrasound. You can detect that their brains is not developing well. They have microcephalic brains. Overall, it's a very severe neurological disorder. There are a couple of things that we knew about Cardi Gutierrez. One is the fact that it behaves like an autoimmune response in the absence of any obvious infection. Second is the nature of the genetic mutations in genes such as TREX1. And finally, the complete absence of an animal model. They don't show the neurological abnormalities that we see in those patients.
TREX1 stands for 3' repair exonuclease 1. Exonuclease in general, they degrade RNA or DNA so the body can defend against a virus. So TREX1 basically its function is to degrade DNA, single-stranded DNA.
If you knock out TREX1 inside the cells, we see an upregulation of repetitive regions of the genome, including retrotransposons, such as line retrotransposons.
Line-1 elements are repetitive sequences that are able to move from one region of the genome into another by a mechanism called retrotransposition. And the way that they do that is by using reverse transcriptase. As far as we know, LINE1 elements are active during early development and also in the brain.
With the absence of a good animal model, the only way to study this condition in a human background is to take advantage of human pluripotent stem cells.
So we use iPSCs, induced pluripotent stem cells, and embryonic stem cells, and create specific mutations and use these cells to differentiate in specific cell lines. Using these cell lines, we are able to create a different model, an organoid, that recapitulates the process that we have in our brain development.
So when we engineered these cells, we confirmed that the mutation is there, that there was no TREX1 protein inside those cells.
In a healthy cell, you always have your DNA in the nucleus where it's supposed to be. And so what we saw is that outside of the nucleus, to an extreme amount, single-stranded DNA existing. And a lot of this DNA was actually the LINE1 retrotransposon element.
They behave like normal cells with the TREX1 protein being expressed. The big surprise came when we push or instruct these neuroprogenitor cells to become neurons. And we see a dramatic effect.
By a large proportion, the AGS patient cells were just dying. We knew then that it was definitely a problem of self-death.
The TREX1 mutant cells virtually cannot make neurons. That strong dramatic phenotype prompt us to make astrocytes. And when we compare the amount of line retrotransposons, we realize that there are way more in the cytoplasm compared to controls. What we see is that these cells look like immunoreactive. They feel like they were attacked by a virus or something. We think they basically sense retrotransposons as the enemy, and they trigger this interferon response.
The astrocyte signals, they were toxic. So AGS patients have intrinsic toxicity within the neuron itself and extrinsic toxicity from the astrocytes. So they're getting hit twice.
In the 3D system, the effects are even more dramatic.
The main thing we saw on the AGS side is that they were dying as fast as they were growing.
And as a consequence, we have cerebral organoids that looks like microcephalic. They are smaller in size, and the amount of cell death that we see in those neurons is elevated compared to the control cells. Once we have these dramatic effects, we thought about a potential therapeutic intervention. So there are actually reverse transcriptase drugs. So we tried these same drugs.
When you added these retrovirals, there was much less single-stranded DNA in the cytosol. And then we saw that they were much healthier. So they didn't have the toxicity. They didn't have the interferon response in astrocytes.
We completely rescue the cell death. Virtually, they become indistinguishable from the controls. In the brain organoids, it worked as nice as in the 2D system. The retroviral drugs could actually make these brain organoids thrive as much as in the control cells.
Essentially, astrocytes are secreting interferons that are killing neurons. If you could block this pathway, you could prevent the extrinsic cell death.
To do that, we actually use a drug that can block the interferon receptor. And by doing that, we could see the same effects. We rescue the amount of neuronal death that we see in the mutant cells to a level that's comparable to the control cells. The conclusions of our work is that we could actually nail down the exact mechanism, both at the molecular and the cellular level, of what's going on during the neurodevelopment of Aicardi-Gutierrez syndrome. So we are definitely excited with the idea that one can design a clinical trial to treat Aicardi-Gutierrez. But it's also possible that this mechanism is more fundamental than we think, and it might actually be working or contributing to other diseases such as autism, aging, or neurodegenerative disorders, where line elements are highly expressed in their brains. So it might be more common than we think.